News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. I know that the history has shown us that it's definitely an issue in our community. Have Bernard Kynes with us, and we're going to talk about this whole idea of suicide in the black community. And Bernard, what is your take on this whole issue of suicide in the black community? Is it on the rise? Is it on the rise amongst black men, black women, college students, and even, you know, your training as a military chaplain? And as you and I have talked about, matter of fact, tell us a little bit about yourself, and you can even respond to those questions, you know, that I kind of threw out, because I'm very fascinated by this.
Sure. Thank you, Harold. First of all, I grew up in South Georgia, a place called Cordele. And, you know, the watermelon capital of the world, it was well known as.
It's called Albany.
Albany, yeah. And I'm married. Been married for 43 years, father of four grandchildren. And I've had the opportunity of being in ministry 39 years. I'm able to keep up with the years because of my daughter's age. She just had a birthday. And my anniversary for my first sermon would be April 29th that I preached at Bethel CME Church in Cordele, Georgia, entitled Condemnation of Ourselves, John 3:17. I've had time, as you mentioned, in the military. I was a chaplain for 15 years of the 27 years of service that I did. And I went to Operation Desert Shield Storm, where in that campaign, even though we didn't go overseas, we were in the desert in California as a chaplain, I could not go anywhere in the visitation of my soldiers where there was not at least one was contemplating or had ideations, is the word that we use in the field, of committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It was due to significant pain, suffering, despair, dread, and facing one's own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So those issues allowed them to struggle with whether they wanted to continue to live or not.
Uh-huh.
I got interested in the field of ministry early on, I think, and I think as long as I've known myself, somehow I had this inkling about always wanting to help people.
Right, right.
And didn't fully understand the calling. And then when it finally came, I had a good father in the ministry who helped me along the way. I did not know that I would end up one day being a pastoral counselor. When I came to ITC, where mm-hmm. you and I first met, I did major in pastoral care and counseling. But I wanted to do that so that as a pastor, I could be more competent in counseling the parishioners in my congregation.
Right.
And that was my whole dream. Well, after Desert Shield Storm and I came back and then I spent a year of internship at Grady, the shift began, and that's how I got into the field of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Even at that point, I didn't think that I would have a full practice, and so it grew and developed into a full-time practice. And that's currently what I'm doing. I do this every day and working with people individually, mm-hmm. couples. I also do groups, and we talk about every range of conversation or topic that may come along that people
wow.
bring in that want me to be with them, including the topic that we were talking about tonight.
So then in your daily, I don't even want to use the term work because it's more of a lack of a better term, more of a service that mm-hmm. you're providing to the community. Do you think this thing about suicide and the taking of someone's life with black men, black women, is it increasing? Maybe it's always been there and we've just simply not been talking about it. And now that that attention is being drawn to it, we're under the impression that it's spiking. I mean, tell me, do you think then that this issue is, you know, growing or increasing? What do you think, my friend?
Well, to your point, I think it has always been there. I think what is happening is we are being challenged to have conversations about it. Which is why you're talking about it and bringing it on the show is so important to the community, because it is one of those topics that we have to have conversation about. In my private practice, Occasionally, I will have clients who will talk about ideations. I have worked with clients who had serious thoughts about committing suicide, and what they are looking for, Harold, is a way to escape not only the mental pain, all right, that they're experiencing. Largely, it turns into physical pain.
Well, why? And that's a good point. You said mental pain, anguish, physical pain. What are some of the contributors? In other words, why is it black men, black women are choosing to end their own lives? I mean, what are some of those reasons you've encountered, or some? What's your suspicion about this kind of thing? Because clearly, you really hadn't had an opportunity to talk to someone about why they killed themselves, because they're dead. But what are some of the reasons that you sense that people might start contemplating
high levels of stress, chronic stress, which turns into anxiety, then which leads to depression, and we don't use that word much in the community, but melancholy, other stressors, impact from workplace harassment, especially in corporate America, that I hear African American men and women experiencing every day, especially when it comes time, for example, for evaluations and they're not evaluated properly, or if they are a minority in the community of their place of employment and can feel the impact of the racism or the sexism in a more poignant way. It impacts black men who, if they commit suicide, will do so with firearms, and that the sense of feeling worthlessness, helplessness, and powerlessness to direct their own lives. And we bear witness to it every day, like the shootings of our black men in the public sphere, the knocking down of our black women. The social stigma of just being a person of color has a historic precedence for some of the contributing factors to just mental anguish and wanting a way out. I had one person who mentioned who is working to help others, if you will, and said, "I wish I could just get away from everybody."
Wow.
Now, when you hear statements like that, those are what we call ideations. So the person is thinking about it, even if they have not made a list. And I will ask the question directly, are you thinking about taking your own life? Or sometimes I use the word, are you considering suicide? Black women have a higher attempt rate than black men. Black men are more successful. Because
why do you think that's so? Why do you think black women have a higher attempt rate than black men? Why do you think so?
Well, I think part of the myth that I've got to be this strong black woman, it still carries on. And when they get overwhelmed by the stresses of the workplace, sometimes they are parenting singly, just weighs them down. And in the case that I've just mentioned, this person is an entrepreneur, and just the stress of trying to help others who often don't feel appreciated. And then the other area we'll come back after the break talk about is we have to look into the childhood, because that's where the root of all this begins.
All right, Bernard, we're going to do that. All right, News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, The Voice. Wonderful day to have a great conversation. Listen, I'm going to go to the lines, and then we're going to come back to this piece that Dr. Kynes Bernard has shared with us about this ideations and talking about suicide amongst black folk. I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going to go to Joseph. Joseph, you're on. Good evening, Joseph.
Simplify, Dr. Bennett.
Simplify, Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph from Worcester, Massachusetts.
What you talking
first
about?
First of all, I'm not suicidal, but I want to break some facts down for the truth of what about suicide. But first, I want to mention something. You talk about HBCU and Tennessee State, right? Yeah, just a quick thought. I don't know if you ever heard of Wilma Rudolph, Untold Story. See, before Jackie Joyner, the world's greatest female athlete ever, there were Wilma Rudolph, three gold medalists, 64, 68 Olympics. Went to Tennessee State. That famous black track and field coach, I can't think of his name now. He passed away maybe 5-10 years ago. So big up to Wilmer Rudolph from Tennessee State.
That's right.
Now, suicidal, then you got to look at the bigger picture before you jump on the black. And first of all, it's of all race in America, men women attempt more suicide, but men are more successful in suicide. Women tend to OD or take pills. Men tend to use the violent way with guns. So men tend to be more successful committing suicide. When I was a psychology major in college, the middle-class white male, upper-class white male, had the highest rate of suicide. For you to understand suicide in the black community, you got to take a worldview. So quick fact, Japan has a high suicide rate, almost as close as environmental or hereditary. There's a hereditary factor in suicide. Bipolar people have a high rate of suicide. First of all, in Japan, it's almost considered an honor to kill yourself when you fail in life. It's more acceptable. Kamikazes, blah, 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 World War II. In India, this is the genetic connection. In India, when people crop fail, there's a high rate of suicide among men. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago. Almost half the population are Indian. 80% of them could take the route
back Joseph, to India. Joseph, let me share something with you.
I'm thinking, you don't want an atheist evolutionary to break down some real crap to black people. You want to push that Jesus stuff. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Joseph, for your call. But Joseph raised a very interesting question. And the issue he pushed us to think about was the whole sociocultural kind of piece, because clearly within some communities in the world, and especially when you're thinking about the samurai and you're thinking about some of the Japanese culture, it's the suicide is honorable. But remember what we talked about in our community. You can say what you want to say, bro, Joseph, but in the black community, it's almost a stigma placed upon people and maybe even families that are associated with someone who killed him or herself. I'm going to go to the line, and I'm going to take, I'll make sure I get the right one. Taylor, you're on.
How you doing, Bennett?
Man, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. I just told your producer, man, you should have been on the radio, man. I'm telling you, I'm delighted.
Well, thank you, man. Tell me about suicide in the black community. I mean, you know, with Bow Wow, and then as I you know, I'm thinking about Don Cornelius, because I remember the first, when I heard about that, that just tore me up, man. But
yeah.
Kanye said he's had bouts with this, and, you know, and even you start talking, and Joseph said something about people being bipolar. There has been some discussion about Mariah Carey.
Okay.
And,
well, I don't know, but I can use the, I like to use the term living and alive and are afraid to be. And there is a contradiction with inside. Now, I suffered a moderately severe depression of Bennett in 1982, and I dissected the month of April because that's when it happened. April is the most turbulent month in the history of America.
You know what? I want you to hold your point, Taylor.
Okay.
Hold your point, because Dr. Kynes, I want him to say something about that, because he shared something very similar about what you just said with me in terms of suicide. Mm-hmm. And how did you fix that, Bernard, about April?
Yeah, April is the highest month when suicide is actually attempted and succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall and the winter of the year, if people are experiencing melancholy, depression, they look forward unconsciously as well as consciously to the spring, when spring brings about new life, new hopes, new possibilities, new energies. However, if someone who is experiencing this deep level of melancholy, as I call it, or depression, as the caller is indicating, and that emotional energy does not lift, and they are close or they borderline to taking their own life, then it's more likely that they will go ahead and commit the act of suicide. And that was done with studies, particularly among inmates in prisons several years ago. And what we don't hear about, because the military won't release any of the numbers, and it's very high among soldiers as well. So he's on point in terms of April being that very difficult month, because everything is blooming, blossoming.
Wow.
And if my life is not blooming and blossoming as I would like for it to, and I'm already borderline with the possibility of taking my own life, then I will carry it through.
Wow. Taylor, go on and finish your point. Okay. I just wanted you to know, man, that you said something that was so apropos. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that, man. Also, in the book, Bennett, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child.
Mm-hmm.
See, my depression, moderately severe depression, happened in April of 1982. I was on a vegetarian diet trying to not become obese the way my father's life ended. And I was at Virginia Union and suffered a moderately severe depression working on a microfilm computer. And Bennett, it was only thing, the best thing I go back to. I don't use the word suicide. To me, that is word. It's seductive itself. But I like to use the term living and alive, and they are afraid to be. And it can lead them to taking their own life, I assume, you know. But I just like the term living and alive and afraid to be. The other thing is, look up April, all of the turbulence in the month of April. There's about 70 tragedies, events in the month of April. And this book, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child, I trace my depression back to the death of the son that died before me. I dissected myself in him. I went back and studied, tracked down his prenatal life. He was born before me. And a lot of people have heard me say this stuff about prenatal on the air and this kind of thing like that, but they're getting there. They're coming here now. And you being a professor and everything, one of the other things here, the expert in Dr. MLK Jr.'s life, Dr. Bernard, Lewis Baldwin,
uh-huh.
A friend of mine.
Yeah, Lewis Baldwin. And, okay, you know, Lewis was in Atlanta a couple weeks ago doing a piece on Martin King.
Well, this is what he and I was on television, Fox Television, the other day here in Nashville. I was on air. He was just on the studio observing. And so I told that, you know, you get two Negroes on the air from Alabama on Fox Television, something go wrong, one going to forget where they was at.
Well, listen, man, Lewis Baldwin is a phenomenal thinker. I've known him for 30-plus years.
Great, great, great thinkers, man. Let me just tell you what he told me. I asked him, did he know MLK's voice was embryonic? And he said, yes, he knew that. And he directed me to the book where MLK went to a parade at 13 and his grandmother left the world coincided. All of this, Bennett, is connected. And I'm here to tell you, and we have got to find more ways to discuss this. I believe in church there should be more discussion now of music than singing it, because that's therapeutic in itself. But our kids are living and alive, and they're afraid to be. And a child's most basic fear is sound and falling. And in the early 60s, I used to go to bed in a cold sweat at night because I couldn't deal with what was going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, and it's repeating itself.
Wow. Well, you know what, Taylor? Thank you so much for your call. We're going to continue this conversation with Bernard Kynes. Bernard Kynes, a pastoral psychotherapist here in the city of Atlanta, formerly trained brother, been practicing for a while at Crossings Counseling Center. And we're going to talk about suicide in the black community. All right, News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. We're talking about suicide. We're talking about suicide in the black community. And even we can push the issue about suicide amongst black men. And we have Bernard Kynes with us, who, and I love saying this, if y'all haven't figured this out, I love saying this. Bernard Kynes is a product of an HBCU. Bernard Kynes received his formal training in pastoral care and counseling at the Interdenominational Theological Center here in Atlanta, the graduate professional school for studies in theology and religious vocations. I mean, you know, you have several schools that comprise the ITC, the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, has a seminary there. The Baptist Church has a seminary there. It's Morehouse. The United Methodist Church has a seminary there. That's Gammon. The African Methodist Episcopal Church has a seminary there. And Turner, the Church of God in Christ, the first fully accredited Pentecostal seminary in the world, is right here in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Interdenominational Theological Center. There is a Lutheran presence there. Then there's a whole nother presence there of non-denominational students. What more can you ask for? You got Baptist, you got Methodist, you got Pentecostal, you got Lutheran, you got non-denominational, and all of these people are sitting there together in class, studying, thinking, doing just what Bernard Kynes is sharing with us. And he's not only this isn't a shade tree therapist. This is a formally trained pastoral psychotherapist. And I love saying that. I love talking about us and how we ready, how the black community has what we need. And what Bernard has done, he shared with us a very interesting word. And the word he used was ideations. That's the first time I'd heard. Bernard, tell us more what you mean by ideations and this thing about suicide.
Yeah, ideation, Harold, is the term that we use when people are having ideas or they're thinking about it because of the distressors that that is going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have thoughts. That does not mean that they've created a plan to do so, but they're thinking about it. And because they're looking for a way out of the pain and the suffering that they are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the layman expression of the word ideation. I want to continue because I want to add something. I want to make a distinction between mental illness and emotional distress.
Say more about that. I think that's great.
I was listening at the video, the tape of the artist Pow Wow, and he used a couple of terms that stood out to me. He said, dark space, I've done everything. And I thought, well, and I talk about it, I thought about taking my own life. For me, that falls under the side of emotional distress, where the day-to-day matters of life creates chronic stress, and chronic stress can then turn into anxiety, which may lead to depression. That's one element of it. I was reading this article in People about Mariah Carey and her fight with bipolar II.
Bipolar.
And bipolar would fall under the category of mental illness because there's some neurological issues that's going on, which may require medication.
Okay.
And so sometimes people require medication to create a balance so that they can get away from some of the issues that they are experiencing physically. As you talked about, having severe sleep disorder, it was not the normal insomnia, lying awake. And she was not counting sheep as she makes an account. So the mental illness element is more neurological.
Neurological.
And
okay.
What I think Sean and not Sean, but the rapper and some of the others that you've mentioned experienced what I would call deep emotional distress.
Mm-hmm.
And the term that came to me since you mentioned our school, the ITC, was he also felt, sounds like he experienced what I call disillusionment.
Okay.
I've done everything, which leads to some levels of spiritual bankruptcy.
Wow. Well, I tell you, that's such a very interesting concept because I was as I was reading the piece by Mo Barnes, and he was talking about suicide rates in the United States, and especially he's talking about suicide rates among black youth. He started talking about, he doesn't really use that term ideations, but what he does, he indicates some of the kinds of things that might be going on in the person's life and in their mind that will kind of like be precursors or might be leaving the door ajar for committing suicide. And he says, as with black men and black youth, perhaps, and you've talked about this a little bit, Bernard, he talked about issues of depression. He said that's a very important kind of thing that could very well lead to or leaves the door open. At least someone might be considering that kind of thing. Issues of family instability, you know, people dealing with issues of substance abuse. And it gets kind of interesting because he even goes as far as starts talking about people when they're isolated from their family.
Right.
How that kind of thing can create thoughts of suicide. And then the one that we can talk about this and maybe we'll have to deal with it with kid gloves on the other side of the break. He says that when people might be having difficulties dealing with sexual orientation issues.
Yes.
That could open the door.
Well, definitely with the
suicide.
With the African American and our African American community, the LGBTQ youth is high in the area.
Yeah.
Women who've been raped.
Yeah.
That creates a contributing factor to leading to the fact and sexual abuse.
Stay right there, Bernard. We got a break. When we come back, you're getting ready to run the ball, all right? News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're right here with Give It Some Thought, Dr. Harold Bennett, and I'm here with my teacher, Dr. Bernard Kynes. There's another story I could tell y'all that would take me back in the day, and I'll lie, I will tell you how old I am. But y'all know I'm sitting here with my teacher, and it's not every day that the pupil has a chance to sit with his instructor, who helped him to learn how to think through the what, the how, and the why, and to help him to understand if you ain't got no proposition, you might as well pack it up. You ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got that. You go. There you go, Bernard. There you go. Listen, let me tell y'all something. We got another. There's going to be another opportunity to give away two tickets. So you're going to have an opportunity to get your hands on two tickets to see and to hear Smokey Robinson live in concert at the Wolf Creek Amphitheater on Saturday, April 28th at 8 p.m. That's another opportunity that's coming up. Let me give you the number so you can put it on speed dial so that when the announcement is made, the opportunity is extended, you can put your name in the hat. That number is 404-892-2703. That's 404-892-2703. So it's coming up soon. So, hey, sit tight and listen, enjoy the conversation, and call in. We're talking about suicide and the black community. And before we went to the break, Bernard was sharing with us some of these indicators, or the term that he used was ideations. And what we had done, we have kind of used that term and connected it with this whole business of what are some of those kinds of, I don't know if I should call them preconditions, but at least they kind of spawn these suicidal thoughts. And what we had done, we had gotten right to the piece where I had mentioned an article that was written by Mo Barnes, and he was citing this whole issue of persons struggling with sexual orientation and how that could be an indicator that someone might be on the verge. That thing might open the door for the taking of one's life. And Bernard was actually chiming in on that. I want you to go ahead and finish what you were saying, Bernard.
Yeah, I was adding to that point is that one of the stats in our community, I don't have the numbers before me. One of the factors is that when the sexual abuse that's in the history of people's lives, rape, both men and women in our community have been victims of being raped. It triggers a deep questioning of one's sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is repressed and not talked about, it could be one of the factors later on in life that a person could consider this as a way out, because it connects to other problems that they may encounter, but they may not realize that a indeed root cause of them feeling the distress that they're feeling could be because of an experience that happened, especially to them during childhood. First 12 years of life, as one of your earlier callers called in earlier about the secret life of the unborn child, and the prenatal element, those first 12 years are critical, because if we experience trauma during mm-hmm. those times, we could experience or develop post-traumatic stress and not even realize it. If the mother is experiencing any type of additional stress while she's carrying, it affects the development of the infant in development and the neurotransmitters in the brain.
Yes.
And so there are a lot of factors. There's no one reason why a person decides to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You keep as you continue to bring up the word ideations, let me be just a bit personal. I remember when I initially returned from Desert Shield Storm, which was an extremely stressful experience. So this is kind of an extreme encounter. I was running one morning, and I was crossing this 285 bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped, and this is what kind of ideations sound like, in one's head. And I looked and I saw this 18-wheeler coming down the interstate. And I thought, I wonder if I time my jump, can I jump and land on the back of that tractor trailer? I thought that for a brief moment, because when I first returned, I was very tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was experiencing my own depression from having to deal with whether I was going to die or return yes. back to the family. So fortunately, I thought, I keep running. So I kept running that morning. years later, I mentioned that in training when I was down at Grady in a didactic group, and the supervisor said, when I mentioned that story, he said very compassionately, probably not. And then when he said probably not, then I realized, wow, I was thinking about taking my own life without thinking about it directly, that I'm thinking about taking my own life. See, the ideation is not that sometimes that I'm thinking about I want to take my life, because it's coded in the words. And so if you got family members who are using terms like, I want to get out of here, I wish I wasn't here anymore, those are ideations. And so you take those seriously, and sometimes you have to ask the question directly. Are you thinking about taking your life, or are you thinking about suicide? And I do believe that we have to use the term so that we can shock ourselves back into a reality of seeing where we are. And I want to say to the audience that it is okay to ask for help.
Yes.
I had a parishioner who helped me to get into therapy when I needed to, because I was having my behavior was erratic. I wasn't focused. I wasn't balanced. And I don't know what I said to her, but she said to me with very empathic and compassionate words, Reverend Kynes, it's okay to go and talk with someone.
Wow. Wow.
And I heard those words, not because of the words only, Harold, but it was the way that she expressed them to me. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways when we have family members, friends who are contemplating or talking about how stressed they are, they just need us to listen with compassion and with empathy and respond to them out of that framework. Mm-hmm. It's how we express it sometimes, as opposed to saying things like, oh, you don't want to do that if somebody says it to you. You know, well, ask the question to them, what happened to you? As opposed to, well, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
So that they begin to talk about the experience, and then you're able as a friend, as a family member, to possibly guide them to places where they can get help.
Wow. Well, listen, I'm going to go to the lines. We have a whole bunch of callers. Let's see if we can't take some of these callers. Gideon, you're on the air with Dr. Bennett and Drs. Bennett and Kynes, and we're talking about suicide in the Black community. What's on your mind, Gideon?
Sir, suicide in the Black community is interesting, and I used to go and sit with when Dr. Costens was at ITC, and sit in the class of his wife, Mrs. Costens, because I graduated with his son, who I played football with at Southwest, Brother Costens. It's interesting because when you talk about when you were talking about people in depression, you missed the postpartum depression. And also, when you were talking about sexual deviance,
I didn't say deviance. I didn't say that.
I didn't say you said it, sir. I mean, I said it because that is the accurate definition of their mental illness. And what I was about to say is that.
Well, now, Gideon, hang tight. Now, I am unsure if that's the proper term to use. That is sexual deviance. That's something else. We need to talk about. But go and make your case. Make your case. I think
Sir. If you look up the definition of a sexual malady, and it was defined as a mental illness up until the 70s when they changed it, it was called deviance or perversion. So that is an accurate definition. But my point is, when you look at people who have this desire to take their life. I was looking through the scriptures, and one of the scriptures that stood out to me was Isaiah chapter 28, and it was verse 18, and where at verse 1 it said that the sovereign Lord said, in verse 18 it says, your covenant with death will be disannulled, and your agreement with the grave will not stand. And when it said that, it made me think that there are some people who literally have made a covenant with death. And you see many of our children wearing skulls on their shirts and on their belts, and they have these skulls tattooed on their bodies. And I don't know if you guys heard about the incident where these two lesbians or sexual deviants or whatever actually took the two of them, their lives, and the lives of six children that they had. They drove off the bridge, and this has been relatively recently. So when we talk about this issue of suicide, and in a country that considers itself to be quote-unquote Christian, which I certainly have issue with that, ignoring, you know, with the history of our people having been slaves and presently slaves in our mind, and the death that this country has rained down on our people and people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is, to me, an oxymoron in that sense. So I just would like to hear you speak on this, the issue of this deviance and the connection with death and the violation of life that we see happening in this country that causes people, because many military people, lastly, and both of you seemed, I think you were saying you were in military, we know that military people have some of the highest suicide rates people in this country.
I think you're right. I think you're right. This is what I want to do, Gideon. I'm up against a break. Listen, I'm going to have to go to this break. Keep on listening, and Bernard and I are going to see if
Absolutely.
We can't address those concerns on the other side. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Listen, the number is 448-922703. Let me go to Todd. Todd, you're on. Good evening, Todd.
Harold Bennett.
Man, how you feeling?
I'm in a perpetual state of struggle, Harold Bennett.
Good for us.
What's your mentor's name?
His name is Bernard Kynes.
Bernard Kynes. Okay. I'm going to answer the question.
Which question? Which one?
What is the cause of suicide in the black community? That's what you wanted to answer for.
Well, we're talking about that. And if you think there is one cause, let's hear it. I think there are several, but let's hear what you think.
Well, wait. Was there a different question?
No. I'm just saying, you said what is, I'm saying, I think what are causes.
Causes,
yeah, because I doubt if there's just one thing. I think there are a bunch of them. But let's hear you on. It's your time, man. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what I consider the most common, excluding somebody being mentally ill. I'm excluding that from my answer because that's also a possibility. But usually...
But let me ask you this. Why do you think someone is ill if they're considering suicide? Why do you think they're ill? Well, they might be in their right mind.
Well, I'm saying excluding that. There are cases where somebody is mentally ill and that's how they ended up committing suicide. They're not in their right mind. So I'm saying excluding that. Here's the most common reason. It's incorrectly focused, shallow, and self-absorbed thinking that usually drives people to suicide. Incorrectly focused on shallow and self-absorbed thinking. Being a shallow thinker and a self-absorbed thinker by itself isn't necessarily a bad thing, depending on how you have it focused. But if you have it focused incorrectly, such as you're more focused on the fact that you have a dilemma that's stressing you out than you are focusing on the problem, on the solution, or how to manage your way through it, then that can drive you to suicide. And if you're a shallow thinker, then you're not a long-range thinker. And a long-range thinker is going to try to be here for an extended period of time.
Now, Todd, you know, I absolutely positively have a completely, I got a counter argument for you.
Okay.
I got a counter argument for you. I'm going to say it now, and we're probably going to have to talk about this. I wouldn't be surprised we don't talk about this the rest of the show. Here is the counter argument. I would say, what happens? Would you consider euthanasia, suicide?
I don't remember what euthanasia is. Are you talking about smothering somebody to death?
No, I'm talking about someone choosing to die.
What's the definition of euthanasia?
It's more of a kind of assisted person's
food. Assisted suicide.
You can call it that. Would you consider that something that grows out of a shallow, self-absorbed kind of thinking? And let me frame it for you a little more. What happens when someone is terminally ill?
That's what I was getting ready to say. In the interest of time, because you have other callers behind me, I would say it depends on the case, because if somebody's terminally ill, and that means they're not going to make it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And they made a decision that to commit that they want to end it now.
That's right.
I don't think that's necessarily a shallow, self-absorbed thinking.
That's my counter argument.
In fact, it might be just the opposite.
There you go.
Your family some money.
You know what? You know what, Todd? I'm gonna shake your hand because that was my counter argument. And I was gonna say, well, I am unsure if suicide always grows out of shallow, self-absorbed thinking.
That, what I was saying is,
yeah. So thank you, Todd. Thank you.
What I said
thank
was,
you for good,
in the majority,
that's good reasoning. Thank you, Todd.
Okay.
I appreciate you, man. Listen, I want to clear this line because I'm going to tell you what we're about to do. Thank you, Todd. Thank you so very much. All right, listen, y'all. I want to give y'all some time to get this in. Hey, y'all want some tickets? Get ready for them. The number is 448-922703. You be my 13th caller, and you can hear Smokey Robinson live in concert at the Wolf Creek Amphitheater on Saturday, April 28th at 8 p.m. You got to be the 13th caller now. I told you the number. I'm going to tell you again. 404-892-2703. Be the 13th caller, and you can win tickets to see Smokey Robinson, Tears of a Clown, and Baby, Baby, Baby. And you get a chance to perhaps hear him sing some of those old Motown favorites and hear him do some stuff that he sang with the Miracles. You need to be that 13th caller at 448-922-2703, and you can get a chance to get two tickets to be in a live concert, setting with William Smokey Robinson. All right. It's on you. What you going to do? It's on you. What you going to do? All right. I'm telling you right now, I wanted to this issue about suicide in the Black community is a major, major issue. And Todd really got us to thinking about something. And I actually love what Todd did. Todd had us thinking about suicide as being something that perhaps could be viewed as being shallow, as being self-absorbed, and someone really maybe not thinking through this thing. What do you think about our caller's comment?
Well, I appreciate Todd's calling in and sharing his thoughts and views with us. One of the problems, however, with his sharing is not what he had to say, but it's the language that contributes to what I refer to as judgment and the fear of others who are in pain feeling ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use language like shadow thinkers, that's a judgment term.
Yes.
When you use language like perversion and I can't think of the other word that the other caller used, those are terms and judgment. So when you have people who are seriously in pain,
mm-hmm.
See, my focus is on not judging persons, but trying to understand their pain. And so I have to walk with them in their shoes before I judge them to label them as perversion or shadow thinkers. Thinking excludes the need that one has also to pay attention to emotions.
Right.
Emotions and thinking are two different
animals altogether. Absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
And contrary to popular belief, we are more irrational beings than we are rational.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. We're driven more by emotions and passions than we are by just kind of sterile, objective kind of rationality. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And to his point, I think one of the primary reasons that has not been, I may not have spoken earlier, has to do with one's feeling of self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the previous caller did mention a point about the history that we've had to deal with racism,
right,
with slavery,
right,
all of the Jim Crow-isms and
right,
so forth and so on. That is real. That has impacted us psychologically. We don't use that term, but I'm using it over the years. It impacts. And so even though suicide is an extreme method, so to speak, there are other issues of emotional distress and mental illness that these factors do contribute to our lives and in our community. And if we don't find ways to talk about them, like we're doing now in more circles, like in the church,
mm-hmm,
in the Greek organizations,
mm-hmm,
for the name, another four example, other social clubs.
Right.
We have
right.
to have these conversations.
Right. You know what, Bernard? You just, I was jotting down some things as you were speaking. And I want to push the envelope just a little bit more. And we're talking about, do these institutions that are important for life in the black community, do they do enough to deal with the issue of suicide? You talking about our churches, you talk about these Greek organizations, these fraternities, these sororities, these Masonic lodges, mm-hmm. these clubs. Do we do enough? Don't answer, because I'm about to go to a break, man. And I see you smiling. I see your eyes light up. I know you're ready to have at it. And I want to give the community a chance to hear what you have to say, because after we take on that question, there's a deeper kind of more involved, thoughtful thing we got to get in, because that's some stuff we got to give it some thought to. All right, y'all, hang tight. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. All right, listen, we're talking about suicide in the black community, and even, you know, we could even talk more so about suicide in black men. It's just so much to talk about. And Bernard Kynes has been our discussion partner, and I am just so glad that we have someone with his expertise to help us with this conversation, someone who is a pastoral psychotherapist and who's working here at the Crossings Counseling Center in Atlanta. Before we went to the break, I said, you know, Bernard was talking about whether or not these institutions in the black community, our churches and our fraternities and our sororities, if they're doing enough to deal with the issue of suicide in the black community. And Bernard, what were you were actually talking about that? I want you to finish your point, because I got a tough question that I want to put out there for the community, because we're going to give it some thought.
Well, I can't say right off the top, but my hunch is that the institutions are not doing quite enough.
Okay.
And I say that in the sense that the topic itself is very difficult.
Yes.
Which is why I probably have not had callers who were able to call in to share that they may be struggling with the idea. It just shows that just having a conversation in and of itself is difficult. The institutions are not sufficiently trained, and it does require training to know how to deal with persons who may be contemplating
right.
the act. But to some credit, there are churches who are developing counseling programs within their churches that I know of, and so they can be frontline leaders, if you will, when they can identify, offer a referral if it comes to that, because I do have churches who make referrals to me, not necessarily as relates sometimes to suicide, but having more and more of our churches not be afraid to allow people to express their pain. See, one of the problems I think with the church is for many people have experienced it as being too judgmental,
mm-hmm.
And sin has been the problem for everything, and so therefore, if you commit this act of sin, the Bible says you're going to go to hell. But mm-hmm. I haven't found that in the biblical text. The only text that I, only scripture that I think about when I think about Judas, but in Matthew, Judas before he went to hang himself, the text says, and he repented.
Right. That's right.
And so the question was asked, well, what was the source of his calls? Well, the pain and the distress of what had happened to his best friend.
Right.
Was a contributing factor. I always use that word contributing factor
right.
because there's more than one cause. And unless you are walking with the person in their space and in their shoes, you never know until they are open up to talk with you about it. So the institutions, for those who are stepping up, I applaud them. For those who are wanting to, you know, there is help in, you know, I can be a resource, and I may have contact with people with the five counselors that I mentioned to you earlier. We make up a group called the Institute for Healthy Black Men.
Right, right.
Dr. Gene Robinson, Dr. Anthony Granberry, Dr. Lewis Cola, Dr. Michael Lee Cook. And we meet monthly to discuss these issues so that we can be of service to the community.
You know what I want you to do? I want you to hold that point, because we have a few more minutes left. And I want to make sure you give our audience the information so that they can get in touch with you
sure.
to deal with this issue. I'm going to the lines. Diana Mitchell, you're there. Diana.
Yes, yes. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm so glad to hear about this topic, and I really wanted to call in. And I agree with the gentleman that just spoke about guilt. A lot of times shame will cause you to move into isolation because you feel bad or you think something's wrong with yourself. But not only that, the church has failed to allow the place to be a place, a safe place, where people can share and talk about their pain, their issues that they're dealing with. And so even just a couple months ago, I had a coworker of over 20-something years commit suicide. And this coworker was in the church. This coworker was a member of AKA. And this coworker practically spent her time, because she was a single young lady who had lost hope and was close, I guess, in her going on in her 40s and hadn't been married yet. And so she just lost hope in life. She had a good job. She had her own home. She had her own car. She traveled extensively with her job. And but yet, and she was connected with the church. She was connected with AKA, but yet she just felt that there was no hope for her, and she took her own life. I mean, it was premeditated. She had her clothes that she wanted to be buried in on her bed. She had a journal of what she had ate that day. She had letters written to people she wanted to write letters to and have them disseminated after her demise. And she hung herself in her home. My thing is that when we don't allow the church to be a place where people can communicate and share their pain, their sorrow, whatever they're going through, they in isolation will take a wrong decision to take their own life.
Wow. Diana, thank you so much for your call. Wow.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
We just about out of time. What I'm going to do, these last two callers, I'm gonna hold you to the two-minute rule so I can make sure we get through these last calls, because we're just about out of time. I'm going to go to Dooley. Dooley, you on?
Hello?
Hey, you on. Go ahead, man. Your clock is ticking.
Well, I know that the church can't address the problems of the modern-day life, and it's sad when somebody gets to the point to where they think the only way out is death, because I would rather a little bit of shame, because you can always move and go to somewhere where don't nobody know you, and don't nobody know your shame. And if you're ashamed of something, don't nobody know it but you, so you can always move. So, but if you depend on the churches, they haven't stopped a lot of stuff, so they're inadequate in today's time.
All right, dude. I'm going to have to let you go on down, because I think there's a whole lot that the church has done right. But, you know, all right, let me go to Michael. You're my last caller. Michael.
Yes, sir. I think one of the biggest things with people is one word: disappointment. When you analyze the total ramification of that word as it pertains to people in their life and what they do from one thing to another thing, that one word is the driving force behind most of the issues dealing with people as a whole. Disappointment. They have a privilege in their mind, but the disappointment disavows them of any of those privileges. So as a result, they tend to say, there's nothing worthy, there's nothing left, because I'm overly disappointed in every facet of this life. So I go take somebody else's physical being, I go rape somebody so I won't be so disappointed. So disappointment is what human beings experience to a greater degree, that creates more adversities in their ability just to live every day. Oh, by the way, we do not have the means and measures to live every day, because they do not provide you with an opportunity. I used to walk in a job today, walk out tomorrow, and have a job the next day. That don't happen no more. So people are stressed with disappointment. That's my spiel. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Michael. All right. Bernard, thank you so much for being a part of us. Take 30 seconds and tell us how we can get in touch with you should we need your services or know someone that might be contemplating suicide. How can the community get in touch with you?
Well, first, I want to thank you, and you're welcome. But I want to thank you for inviting me to have this conversation. Right. If anyone wants to reach me, they can call me at 404-378-2232, 404-378-2232. And I have contact with the other gentleman that I mentioned, that depending on which part of town that they live in, that I can share. But I want to say to those who are listening and maybe thinking about this on a serious level, there is hope out there for you. We're available to help you. Feel free to give me a call, and I will return the call.